What's going on, guys? Welcome to Weighing In with Worm. I'm your host, Worm Buffelli. We are here at the Wormhole. The snow is melting. Tuesday tournament's in the books. We are on the road to the big show here. Sit back. Let's talk some wrestling. So before we get this podcast rolling, I want to ask you guys a question. Are you guys looking to upgrade your mower? Are you needing a new snowblower for the upcoming wrestling season? If you are, go no further than Raider Outdoor Power, located at 2580 Rockdale Road in Key West. The good folks at Raiders will make sure you are set up for the season to have your lawn looking like a pro-level golf course or get that snow off your driveway so you can get to where you're going in a hurry. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the podcast, Raider Outdoor Power. Guys, go to Moskies. Just do yourself a favor and go to Moskies. Moskies Barbecue, located in Cascade, has some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Located right off the 136 exit in Cascade, Bryce and Shauna do nothing but great work. You've seen their food truck in Dubuque. You've seen their catering at weddings. Now go to the brick and mortar and enjoy some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Great people, great wrestling family. They love wrestling as much as you guys listening. So do yourself a favor, stop down Moskies, get some barbecue today. Are you looking to restore rusty old metal parts to like-new conditions or protect brand-new components with durable, attractive, long-lasting finishes? Lane's Custom Steel, located in Benton, Wisconsin, can help with the metal finishings and metal coatings, offering a full range of custom metal restoration using powder coating for individuals and businesses. Contact Shaden at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. That's Lane's, L-A-N-E-Z, customsteel@gmail.com. Let's get this podcast rolling. All right, we are back. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We have had an awesome week of wrestling this past week. We had the girls' state tournament. We had state duels. We had Loris versus UD. So let's just get right to it. You know, this past weekend, the girls' state tournament down in Coralville. There's just a couple things I want to discuss before, you know, we go into the results. You know, kind of the first things I noticed is, like, the state tournament, the girls' state tournament, for being only 2 years old officially, you know, being a state-sanctioned sport, man, they put out all the stops there. I mean, you see on social media, like, they had a big queen chair. They had, you know, the crowds. I mean, they had lines all the way up to, like, past the hotel down the Hyatt. You know, that was super cool to see, man. Like, you know, the amount of fans that turn out for that tournament already is just already showing how much we love wrestling in the state of Iowa. I mean, it goes to show. I mean, just overall, the pageantry of it was really cool. I thought, you know, I'm on this new thing. You know, I'm seeing after the state tournament or after each match, the girls are going up and they're signing the brackets. If they win, they win. They sign their name as it progresses. You know, and I've kind of gone back and forth with it. You know, I love being a traditionalist at the state tournament. I'm not saying this is a bad thing at all. I think it's really cool. You know, I almost was kind of wanting to spark a debate this week of, you know, what do you like more? Do you like the fact that after the match, you know, you go and sign your name on the bracket and you move on? Or, you know, do you like the traditional, you know, the calligraphy of, you know, the big wall mounts of the boys' state tournament? You know, that calligraphy bracket has been around probably since 1950, you know, or when the state tournament started. And, you know, that's just one of those things that just adds, again, to the overall state history and magic. But also at the same time, too, you know, history can change, or not history can't change, but you can always evolve, you know, and that's just one thing. You know, I'm not saying we have to reinvent the wheel or throw this stuff out. I think it's a cool concept. It's something different that the girls do that separates them from the boys. It's not just, you know, hey, we're just going to follow the exact same route. You know, it's something different. Another cool thing I thought was awesome was before each finals match, they had entrances, like almost like at the World Team Trial, or at the World Team Trials, Final X, NCAAs. They run out, there's lights, there's smoke, there's a rug that they, or like a carpet that they run down. And I thought that is really cool. That's something, again, not something that is traditional in the state of Iowa. And that's, and again, it's one of those things, man, like, you know, let's, you know, that's a cool way to get girls excited about the state of, you know, wrestling. He's like, hey, someday I could run out of the tunnel, see the smoke. And that's something that they could be dreaming about right now as a, you know, a 6-year-old girl who's just getting into wrestling. She sees that and she goes, wow, someday I want to do that. You know, and then I see the girls get a freaking plaque too with their medal. Like, that's like doubling down, man. You know, state tournament in Iowa, you know, for the boys, you get a medal, you get the bracket. Cool, right? Girls, they upped the ante even too. They got a plaque, you know, that says they're a state champion too. You know, again, just another thing that is evolving their side of the sport, which is awesome. And it kind of did bring me to this question, even too, is like, do you think the boys tournament needs to be revamped? You know, I don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. I absolutely love the state tournament, and I will always love the state tournament. I'm one of those people that I actually never got to go to Veterans Auditorium as a kid to see the state tournament. The first state tournament I went to was in 06, and that was the first year at Wells Fargo. And still to this day, you hear people, oh man, the well was so, or Vets was so much better, the barn was so much better. You know, but you're at a point now where, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, they never knew what the barn was. So again, you know, it's just a way of evolution. You know, I personally think, you know, like last year, state wrestling, they opted to start doing the dog bone, mat format on during the semis. I think that's really cool. You have the two semifinal mats right, you know, right in front of you. And then you have two other mats that kind of form into a dog, or four other mats, two on each side of that one mat. You know, that's where you're having your consolation third round, your blood round match, if you will. You know, the next round consolation in that as well. That way, you know, you can focus, you know, your eyes on those two mats rather than, you know, back in the day it was like next available mat, or they just had the four mats in the middle. It just kind of it kind of slows things down so where you can sit and actually like focus on one match at a time, or even, you know, both semis, just like, you know, at the NCAA tournament. But, you know, a couple things that I personally would like to see is I do think that we should have an insurance thing. You know, I got buddies from Illinois that they love, and all you Illinois guys out there are listening to this, I know you guys are just sitting there going, we love the Grand March down in Illinois. You know, I always thought that our Grand March was cool, but I also like the idea of having that finals introduction. You know, they have three classes, we have three classes. I think that Iowa could do that, you know. Just all of a sudden now you line up, you know, you're against your opponent. They announce at 106 pounds, this guy versus this guy. They run out, they shake hands, just like almost at every other tournament that you compete in that had that finals introduction. Why not have it at the state tournament? I think that'd be cool. I don't think it hurts anyone. You can, it just adds again to making that tournament better. You know, and then, you know, there again, you're always just going to have people that are like, oh no, we've never done it before. Okay, well, let's just add to it. We're not changing it. We're just adding to it. You know, I understand having the three mats in comparison to the one the girls have down the state tournament, or the one class they have the state tournament. That entrance would be cool, but, you know, with three mats in the finals, that could make things a little dicey, but, you know, maybe someone can figure out a way for that to, you know, to be something really special there. I did know, you know, last year they switched the brackets from a horizontal bracket to a standing bracket, kind of like the NCAA bracket. Cool. Again, doesn't bother me. You know, there's people out there like, oh, you know, you missed the traditional one. Nah, man, like, evolve. If it looks like an NCAA one, I think kids, like, you know, that's kind of one of those things too. It's like, hey, Fargo, you know, it's all these tournaments, it's a vertical bracket rather than a horizontal. You know, and if anything, it shows, you know, the history of how things evolve, you know, obviously. Again, evolution has been a big part of this. But yeah, I'm not complaining about the boys' state tournament at all. I think if this stuff were to happen, it's just going to make a better product. It's going to make it more of a reason to go down to the state tournament and be there as a fan, you know, because like I said, all my buddies from Illinois, they talk about, oh man, the Grand March is the best thing ever. Okay, so let's make ours better than theirs, right? Like, why not? I mean, we already had the conversation about apparently, well, how Illinois is better than Iowa in so many ways. You know what? We're gonna take one back and say, no, our state tournament is still better. I will always say that cripes, you're comparing the Wells Fargo Arena to the State Farm Arena down in Champaign. Come on, you guys. Let's get real. It's Wells Fargo, 10 out of 10. But okay, so enough of me on my soapbox of the things that I thought were cool down at Coralville for the state tournament. Let's start talking some results. For Hempstead, right off the gate, 130-pound Ayla Osterkamp. She went 1-2. She lost to Addison Musser first round. That was state champ of the tournament. You know, she had a great tournament. Looked really, really tough. But, you know, she did bounce back with a 4-2 win over Arabella Verrill of Southeast Polk. But, you know, her season ended with a 1-0 loss. You know, but I'll tell you what, man, for a girl that just started wrestling, you know, within the last year, Ayla Osterkamp, I mean, she's got some upside to her. I think that the sky is the limit for her. You know, I think she's going to have a bright future ahead. Annabelle Blanchard had a rough day. She went 0-2. She lost first round to Shaylee Sutherland of Spencer. And then Eliana Cooey of West Lions. You know, both matches, first period falls. You know, Annabelle Blanchard was, I think it was a kind of an unspoken leader, or maybe even the team captain of Hempstead this year. You know, she has always been someone that Coach Hass has always kind of really talked about as being, you know, one of the hardest working girls in the room. So I think, you know, that kind of sucks to see how that result ended for her. Paige Howison, she went 1-2. She had a win over Abigail Chima of South Tama County. But then she did fall to Lauren Luzum and Aria Resnick. You know, again, getting a win down in state tournament as a junior, that's huge. You know, go down there next year, win a couple more. Caitlin Brockus made it to day two. She had 3 wins on day one, but she did fall in the blood round to Allison Crum of East Buck. Guys, if you guys saw East Buck's run for the girls team, they took second this year. But, man, they absolutely looked legit. Like, for a 1A school that has just, you know, they have a solid team. They showed up, and I think they showed out for the most part there. Senior, they sent 3 girls down. Reese Benson had a rough shake. She went 0-2. But again, she's a sophomore. She has 2 years left. You know, she's, you know, getting that state experience. That's just what she needs. She went on that run down at regionals. You know, I think the sky's the limits for her too. MVC conference champ Julie Strohmeyer. She went 2-2 on the weekend. She scored 2 pins in both wins. I thought, for some reason, I thought Julie was a senior. And again, that's just bad, maybe bad research on my end. But I tell you what, man, if she's only a sophomore, that's scary. For a girl that really likes wrestling, she's a 2-time MVC champ already. She is, you know, I think big things are still up in the, you know, big things are going to happen for her here in the next 2 years. You know, she is solid as they come. But the big performance for the Rams was Disciple. She came home with 8th place. You know, she scored 4 falls. There was a medical forfeit. I mean, a senior, I mean, absolutely great way to finish her career as a Lady Ram. Send Coach Cole off. If for those that don't know, Coach Cole is taking the AD job at Osage this next year, so he'll be stepping down this year. So be curious to see who they bring in as a girls coach. It could be someone that could really, you know, light a spark in that program again, or, you know, improve off of what Coach Cole left there going into next year as well. West Dubuque, they sent 2 down and they came home with 1 medal. Adriana Shepherd went 3-2 on the weekend. You know, she lost, you know, a tough one on day 2 in the blood round. But then Sheridan Engelken, you know, she went 4-3 to bring home 8th place for the Bobcats. You know, I believe that's West Dubuque's first medal they had in the girls division. And that's great for Coach Danner and his program. Big conversation here. You know, Waller went down with, you know, their 1-2 combo. Right off the gate, 135 pounds, Bella Miller went down there to start her quest for 4 state titles, and she lived up to her promise. You guys have heard the interviews. You guys have seen her talk. You know, she was literally on a vision quest to win a state title, and I think that's what happened. After coming off 3 pins in the first period, man, she had an absolute nail-biter in the semis. She had returning state champ Maley Esbury of South Tama County. She was up 2. She chose bottom, gave up 2 stall calls. Tied it up 2-2 to push to overtime. You know, they go to overtime. Bell hits a really nice outside single. And Ellsbury did a really good job defending it. There was a little bit of a scramble there, but Bella, just being, you know, a student of the game, she kind of weathered through the storm. She cut the corner. She ran the corner, covered the hips, got her 2. So it was awesome there for her. And then that got her a date Friday night against SB Alsman of Lewis Central. You know, a couple takedowns and an escape. That was enough for Bella to cement her first state title on her campaign. She finished her freshman career with a 32-1 record. her only loss this year came from a girl from Apple Valley who is ranked, you know, top five in the country. And it was like by one or two. So, you know, she, I think you guys are about to see just an absolute force to be reckoned with. But I mean, for you guys that knew, have known Bella since she was, you know, a little girl wrestling, you guys know that she's tough. Like, you know, I think she'll have a really good coming out party this summer in Fargo. You know, that's one of her goals is to, you know, get a stop sign out there. And I think she could be well on her way there as well. So kudos to Bella on her state title as a freshman. You know, and then they were getting, you know, then that Iskaraki at 145 pounds, you know, everyone kind of, you know, again, that 1-2 punch of Waller, they were getting ample work out of her. She walked into the tournament 32-1. She was living up to it. She had a pair of pins. She had a 6-2 win that set her up against the number one seed, Mari Manns of Lewis Central in the semis. And man, Eve was up 1-0 going to third period. Manns chose bottom and Eve put the legs in. Kind of just got off on her back a little bit weird, trying to score some back points. And Manns hit her hips out, caught Eve on her back, and then pinned her in the semis with about 40 seconds left in the third. So obviously that's a heartbreaker, you know, especially, you know, you're up one, but totally get it, man. Like, you know, it's a fresh, you know, as a freshman, being up 1-0 in the state semifinals is one of those things like, you know, you kind of, I'm not saying a panic mode, but it's one of those things like, hey, I got to hold on, and I got to hold on anyways, means necessary, and I think that's kind of what happened. In the Concy semis, she showed up, looked like her elbow was pretty dinged up. In about 2 minutes into the match, she couldn't go. Her elbow was pretty jacked up, so they pulled her out, and then she actually medical forfeited out of the tournament. So those medical forfeits don't count, so Eve also finished her season 32-1, but with a sixth-place finish. You know, I was talking to a couple of the Waller coaching staff, and, you know, the scene kind of the best described the weekend was there was a birthday and a funeral all going on at the same time. You know, both girls, or, you know, they, you know, obviously they both want to win state titles. You know, one's coming off a semifinal win, one's coming off an absolute heartbreaker. You know, the coaching staff is just like sitting there trying to juggle emotions. And that's what you do as coaches, you know, especially the state tournament. You know, you could have a guy who's having an absolute run of the tournament, and then you have a guy that, you know, something comes up short, and all of a sudden, you know, you're having to deal with the emotions of one high and the emotions of a low. So, again, don't count Eve Skoraki out by any means. You know, she might not won four, but she's probably, she, you know, she could easily win three, in my opinion. She's one of those girls that she's going to probably spend the whole summer, again, going to be like Bella trying to win a Fargo title. So that would be huge there for her. So with that being said, you know, and then Bellevue had Kelsey Neff. She went down to the state tournament, went 1-2, I believe. Again, another girl has a great season ahead of her, or has a great career ahead of her. She's got another 2 years left. You know, look out for her as well. You know, she's going to be pretty solid, I think, coming up here in the future. But for those that are listening, hey, this is a friendly reminder starting that this Sunday, February 12th, Dubuque Wrestling Club will start freestyle practices for girls now the high school season's over. Starts at 5 p.m. at Graber at Loras. If you want to come try it out, please come try it out. If you feel like you want to bring a partner, absolutely bring a teammate, try getting them to come in too, because this is the type of stuff that you guys need to do to obviously improve, you know, and you get top level coaching from, Eddie Smith, DWC head coach, Will Kelly, Jaron Glosser, various other coaches that'll be coming in. You know, it's just one of those things like, you know, this is an opportunity to get better. More mat time has never done anyone anything wrong, and especially girls that are going to be learning freestyle. If there is interest in college, you know, wrestling in college, you'll have to learn how to wrestle freestyle anyway. So now is a time as a young part of your career to learn freestyle. So Sunday, 5:00, be there. Moving on this week, Friday night in college wrestling world, Loras and UD squared off, annual rivalry duel. And man, if you were there, every person I talked to that was there this weekend, they all agreed, man, it was electric. Both sides of the stands were loud. You know, UD always tries to really hype up this duel. Their student section is always really, really loud. Loras section always tries to be really loud. I mean, and it was a nail biter, man. Like there was some matches that went back and forth. I think both teams agree that the ref probably could have been a little bit better on some calls, but hey, you know, we don't get paid to ref. They do. So some nights you just have an off night. But Loras did end up coming out with a 24-22 win. And then moving on, you know, for future reference, Friday night, at the AWC at Loras. Loras will be hosting Warburg. That duel starts 7 p.m. That's always the big one that's circled for the last couple of years. You know, Warburg always brings a big crowd. They usually bring a bus down of students. I think if you're in town and you're able to come out and watch them wrestle, and if you're not going on the Penn State-Iowa duel, man, get to Graber, be loud, and just enjoy good wrestling. Not to mention, you have the opportunity to watch Dubuque native Joe Pins from Warburg. He wrestles 133 pounds for the Knights. You know, good way to go show to support to Dubuque wrestlers, you know, that aren't wrestling for Loras. He's wrestling for Warburg. Go cheer him on as well. So with that, and then going on to Saturday, moving there, Hempstead went down to the state duels. They qualified last week. We talked about that in the podcast. You know, they started off the day being the seventh seed. You know, they've been ranked seventh all year, so they got the seventh seed. They met number two seed Indianola. After all that was said and done, Hempstead took the 45-11 loss there. You know, Indianola's tough. You know, they're ranked second for a reason. And then, you know, they go to the backside. You know, they met Waukee Northwest. That was a tough one for them. They took a 53-16 loss to the Wolves. But it did set up a seven-place match with district opponent Waverly Shell Rock. And for those that know Waverly Shell Rock, traditional powerhouse, always, you know, a team that has been known, you know, to bring them hardware. And for this year being in the district tournament, you know, this was a great way for them to see that. And, I mean, it lived up to the hype. I sat and watched that duel, and it was a slugfest. I mean, Hempstead got pins from Tate Woodruff, Elijah Hyatt, Landon Gotchak, Mitchell Murphy, Dane Mangler, Garrett Christensen, and then, of course, a go-home pin from Cam Smith. Cam Smith just comes in clutch, it seems like, this year when they're down close. And they, he's finishing off. He's usually the one that puts guys away for Hempstead. So he's been having a year for them. They end up catching 42-37, and they end up taking home seventh place. I did speak to Coach Hempstead Coach Brett Haas just to see what he had to say about Saturday, and then also to talk about what's going forward with districts this Saturday. All right, I'm here with Hempstead Head Coach Brett Haas. Brett, coming back from state duels, what are we thinking, man?
Oh, man. It was a really, really successful week, I think. It shows that our program is trending in the direction that we wanted it to be going in. So, yeah, man, we got a lot of good things going on, and it's exciting now. You know, we talk about it a lot where, you know, from the middle of November through the state duels tournament, it's all about the team, and then you get through the state duels, and now we're focused on our individuals, and hopefully those guys can reach their goals.
For sure. You know, right out of the gate, you guys had number two seed Indianola. You knew that was going to kind of be the draw that you guys were expecting to get coming out of there. You know, and then Bendorf snuck up on them in the semis. And, you know, kind of talk through that Indianola duel.
I tell you what, our guys gave tremendous effort in that duel. And it turned into the by far the longest duel of that first round. Just because our guys wanted to fight in every position. I don't know that technically our guys performed really well. But I think that as a team, we fought hard. And a lot of positive things happened that we definitely took away from it after the weekend. And, yeah, we feel pretty good about it.
Okay. You know, and then bouncing right back, you guys had, you know, Northwest Waukee and, you know, kind of similar outcome there. You know, was the fight still there, you think, in that second duel? Or
it's funny how it played out where we got to the end of that first duel, and then it was like less than 5 minutes, and we were right into Waukee Northwest. We're like, so we spend, you know, 5 days getting relatively prepared, talking about how we're going to focus on one duel at a time. And we were really focused and locked in, I think, on Indianola. And we lost a lot of close matches, but I think overall that was a positive performance for us. And then 5 minutes later, you get Waukee Northwest, which I give credit to both of them and Indianola. They're very well coached. And it's just something that we don't necessarily see a ton. And ultimately, we lost a couple of really close ones right away. And it spiraled quick. It spiraled really quick. Yeah, it was that was a tough duel. And it gave us a lot to have conversations with, where then we had a duel off, and then it was one more duel against a team that's in our district. And that was a tough one.
Yeah, so then to bounce back, though, you know, you had, what, probably about an hour, hour and 15, 20 minutes, kind of regroup and have the guys refocus to go. And I tell you what, I was watching that duel, and, I mean, it looked like it was a gunslinging match. I mean, both teams came out and they were bringing it. You had some guys on your team that I thought stepped up big for you, you know, and, you know, you had guys that you could tell, like, I feel, you know, this is just me just being from an outside perspective. It looked like you had guys that were like, okay, I'm going to put this on my back, get sick, try getting six and try moving forward. How do you think that Waverly duel panned out for you?
Yeah, spot on. We had a brief conversation with our team, and then we kind of put it on our leaders to have a conversation with these guys on whether or not this is the way that we wanted to go out, because Waverly was, I don't know that they're all that much worse than a team like Waukee Northwest. And we were definitely trending in a direction after that Northwest duel where if we wrestled that same way, it wouldn't have went very well for us. So I think our leadership had some good conversations with the guys that are on the team, and they kind of took it upon themselves to really step up and rally around each other. And we started pretty hot, and yeah, it turned into kind of a what's been a typical Hempstead duel this year with a lot of pins involved. And because they've got a handful of really tough guys that are going to get pins a lot of the time out, and then we kind of found some other portions of their lineup that we took advantage of, and ultimately it came down to Cam Smith getting a huge win and sealed the deal.
You know, I said it just a little bit ago, man. I feel like Cam Smith's been kind of one of those guys this year. Like, you feel like you put him out there, like, he's almost like your four-hitter, where it's like games on the line. Like, he seems like he pretty much rises to the occasion, and he wants to go out there and show out. And it seems like he did, you know, was it 37, 36 going into that last match, and he decided that he was going to go out and get the six for you.
Yeah, he pretty much called game. You're right. Probably our next most important regular season duel would have been Prairie, and he beat one of the best guys on their team, pinned him. He's kind of a guy who smells blood in the water, and he's tremendously improved, and a lot of that is between his ears.
Yeah, and you can tell me, the kid's built like a brick shit house, and he's strong as all get out, and you throw some technique in there, I think he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be pretty dangerous come Saturday. Speaking of Saturday, you guys are hosting the district tournament. You know, what do you guys think all going into, you know, hosting the district tournament? You know, I don't think it's really too much of a distraction, but at the same time, like, all of a sudden it's like you're not just hopping on a bus and rolling in. You got to make sure everything's done before, you know, everything goes underway. How are the guys focused this week, you know, especially coming off of Saturday? You know, some of these teams are getting, you know, 10, 11-day breaks. You guys are getting about a 7-day break. You know, how do you think, you know, they're going to rise up to that?
I think it's great. I love having it on our home turf. I think the past couple years we've kind of went into a hostile environment down in North Scott. And they've got really good fans and a really good group of people in their program. So we're fortunate to where we get a host this year. So I think that'll be comfortable, and I know we'll get a lot of fans out there that'll be supporting our guys. But, you know, kind of what we've been talking about with our team is we really needed those three duels this past Saturday against high-quality teams. Unfortunately, we got canceled out of what is probably our toughest regular season tournament, Bettendorf, due to weather. So we really needed those matches. And this week, you know, we found just a few things that we can tighten up a little bit and a couple of things that we can maybe tack on with our individuals. And I think we feel good about it. I think just watching our guys kind of respond to adversity and their stress management skill, it seems like they're constantly improving. So we love it. We'll just see how Saturday goes, but we got the right team for it.
For sure. Just kind of circling back to the state duels, you know, this is your guys' second year down there in 2 years. With it being also the fact that the state duels last year started, you know, they canceled out that sectional week and, you know, brought the state duels back to that situation. What do you think as a coach? Do you like that change, or do you think that's a change that should possibly be, you know, go back to, like, you know, the old school format of being done after the individual tournament.
It's awesome. I think the way they do it now is so much better. I didn't necessarily know what to think of it right away. I mean, I think I was more of a proponent of doing it the way it was. What's it been now? Almost 15 years to where it was the week after the traditional tournament. But this is, it's perfect. And we've gotten the mindset of, like I talked about earlier, it's all about the team, regardless of regular season duels, tournaments, whatever. It's all about the team through that state duels tournament that we hopefully qualify for. And then now we just lock in on our guys and what they need on an individual basis. And yeah, it's great. Coralville's a really good spot for it, size wise, and
close,
really, really fun.
I was gonna say close distance. I mean, it's an hour and a half away, you know. And you know, you need to kind of think about it too. It's like, you know, some people definitely take advantage of the, you know, the 10 days off, if you will, or some cases 14 days off, depends on your schedule. You know, and but you guys seem like you guys are, you know, you guys are really embracing the fact of, hey, getting those matches in, keeping the guys fresh, you know, kind of prevents guys from ballooning up a little bit, keeping guys, you know, kind of also focused. Because, you know, if you put it in perspective, if that 10, you know, during that 14 days, I think your mind can kind of get a little away from wrestling a little bit, and kind of like you almost feel like almost like a regular high school kid until all of a sudden it's like district week, and it's like, crap, we got to go. I kind of got a little fluffy here. So, I mean, you know, just going into this, you guys are talking about the team, but it almost like now that the state duels are over with, it's almost like you guys can say like, hey, now we can focus on the individual goals. You know, realistically, you know, obviously anything can happen, but you're kind of not your predictions, but how you think, you know, you guys feel sitting in this district right now.
We got a lot of good guys. And I think we've probably, as a team, I think we've positioned ourselves where we're looking at 9 or 10 guys that'll be seated to qualify for the state tournament. It may be another guy or two that has an opportunity. And hopefully, you know, they go out and get those good wins and position themselves where they want to be, you know, once the state brackets draw out on Sunday. But yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at. We're looking to hopefully qualify a significant amount of guys, and I know that's what they're looking to do too, so it's good.
For sure. One of my new sponsors, Eric Doughty Concrete. For those who know Eric Doughty, a former Hempstead wrestling great, state medalist, has a concrete company here in Dubuque, and he would love to give you guys a quote today. Give him a call at 563-543-594, and he will set you up right. Eric Doughty Concrete. At Lane's Custom Steel, they have been offering custom power coating solutions to businesses and individuals since 2019. Their skilled team of professionals are dedicated to providing you with high-quality finishes that will last many years. Email Shaden at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. And we're back in this week, guys. Whoa, we're here. It's districts, man. We're here. Let's go, all right? Like, let's get excited about this. It's district week. This season flew, man. I don't know about you guys. I felt like a couple weeks ago we just started preseason, and it just, we're here. We're at districts. You know, this is for all it's worth. Let's start in Class 1A. Up at MFL Marmac, you got Bellevue, Cascade, Central Cater, Clayton Ridge, East Buck, Jessup, MFL Marmac, Postville, Starmont, Sumner, Fredericksburg. You know, at the beginning of the year, I thought, you know, hey, this is a perfect tournament for these guys. But Jessup, all of a sudden, they started rolling. They've had a great season so far. MFL Marmac, they've had a solid team so far. Starmont has a couple guys. You know, so this could be tougher than, I personally think this could be tougher than what I expected at the beginning of the year. I think they still both have the opportunity to qualify about two guys each out of that district, which would be awesome, I think, for both programs, especially, you know, young coach Zach Thompson, get a couple guys to state tournament. That'd be huge. You know, Coach Rip, the Highland brothers, man, they've been wrestling, you know, they're as tough as they come for them. I think they can get both guys down there the way that they've been wrestling this season. So that is at MFL Marmac. All these are start times at noon, so keep that in mind if you guys are planning on going somewhere. All state district tournaments start at noon. Class 2A, we're at West Delaware. Benton Community, Center Point, Maquoketa, Monty, New Hampton, Northeast, Wallerton, West Delaware. West Delaware, made a state duels. came home top five finish. You know, they've had a great tournament. Or they've always just are traditionally tough. I think, you know, this district sets up perfect for them. Benton is also really tough. You know, I'm thinking looking at Wallert, though, I still think you have three or four guys that could get out. You know, you especially look at guys like Jaron Gilley and Colin Young. And then Michael Brocious, he has had a year so far, too. You know, for a guy that went out for wrestling last year, he took third at districts. So I think he's one of those guys that, you know, can really step up, take, you know, second, get down to Des Moines. But as always, you know, that's the nice thing about districts. You can go in there. We'll talk more about that later and create some upsets. Class 3A, Hempstead. We got Clinton, Davenport North, Hempstead, Senior, North Scott, Pleasant Valley, Waverly, Shell Rock, and West Dubuque. And I'm going to tell you guys, this still is the toughest for me to play out. You know, after watching Waverly and Hempstead wrestle, I feel like Hempstead could be in the driver's seat for having the most qualifiers coming out of this tournament. You know, just for the guy, for how those guys looked against Waverly, how they've been wrestling all year, I think, you know, they are starting to become the front runners in this district. West Dubuque, they have three or four guys I think that can easily make it out of there pretty handily. And also, you know, the thing about West Dubuque too is, man, they've always been known to, you know, either pull off an upset to get to district or get to the state tournament, or they have that one kid that shows up, just wrestles lights out to get down to Des Moines. So that's just, you know, again, that's just to the credit of West Dubuque as well. Senior, they could have one or two guys that could grit their way through it. You know, again, this thing's a gauntlet. The difference between Class 1A and 2A and then Class 3A, 1A and 2A only take top two. And then 3A, they take top three. So, you know, you have that element of all of a sudden, you know, you still have a shot by taking third, you know, so you can wrestle to a true third rather than a true second. So, you know, you could possibly, you know, things could go your way even on the backside. So let's take a quick break here, and then we are going to go into Coach Worm's Corner. Want to take a quick break here to mention our great sponsors at Raider Outdoor Power. Stop out at 2580 Rockdale Road, and one of their great sales staff will have you set up for the best equipment and top-of-the-line service you can expect from a company who has helped the Dubuque County area since 1957. Guys, go to Moskies. Just do yourself a favor and go to Moskies. Moskies Barbecue, located in Cascade, has some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Located right off the 136 exit in Cascade, Bryce and Shauna do nothing but great work. You've seen their food truck in Dubuque. You've seen their catering at weddings. Now go to the brick and mortar and enjoy some of the best barbecue you'll ever eat. Great people, great wrestling family. They love wrestling as much as you guys listening. So do yourself a favor, stop down Moskies, get some barbecue today. And we're back again. Thank you so much for my sponsors of this podcast. I truly can't do this without you guys. Truly appreciate them. If you guys get a chance to support their businesses, please find a way to. If not for nothing, just a small trinket of just even liking their social media pages. If you can't support them financially, just that little bit of promotion really helps, I think, these sponsors out in the long run. You know, this is Coach Worm's Corner, you know, and, you know, for those who did see this weekend, I made an announcement, Nick Maimon made the announcement that I will be going to state to commentate for IA Wrestle's live stream on their Facebook. It's going to be a grind. I'm super humbled that they asked me if I wanted to do it. So I'm super excited to be able to go down, cover, the state tournament, also get to be able to watch, you know, the area athletes, get to see my, you know, some of my best friends that are on different staffs around, the area and the state coach doing their thing. You know, I love the state tournament. This is my favorite time of the year. State tournament is one of my favorite things because, you know, like I said, I get, even back being when I was a coach, it was always something real special for me because it was like, I got to see my friends. I got to see them be successful, or at least their athletes be successful, and then watch them, you know, just embrace the happiness of watching their athletes succeed. So, I love the state tournament, and I love districts. I love state tournament. So it's wild that's happening, and I thank you guys for, you know, the amount of people that came up and, you know, told me good or congratulations on that. So I am very humbled. Thank you guys so much again. But so I figured, you know, with this week having the podcast come out on Wednesday next week, you guys aren't going to have a whole lot of time to listen to it, obviously, with state going on Wednesday. So next week's podcast is going to be basically about, you know, district results and then like your first round pairings. So it's going to be a real short and sweet episode, I think, there. I figure with Coach Worm's Corner this week, I want to talk about both things. You know, I want to talk about districts and I want to talk about state, because all these that I'm going to talk about, you know, pertains to both days, or both tournaments. You know, you can take one of these or take any of this advice and apply it to either event, and I think you're going to be working out. And, you know, and parents, I have something for you at the end of this. So if you could just hang tight and sit and listen to me babble, I appreciate it. Cause I always give parents advice on this as well. So like I said, it's districts week. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine, Joe Taylor. He called me up the other night and we were talking, and he's like, you know, something that you should cover in the Coach Worm's Corner is don't be chasing rankings right now. You know, don't be getting caught up in the idea of seeing a kid that's ranked ahead of you before districts, you know, and getting really psyched up about it and getting overhyped about it. Because here's the thing, guys, you're 0-0 this week. You know, everything that your entire season right now was great, but, you know, starting districts, you're 0-0. I've been around this sport, you know, since I was 13 years old, so almost 23 years. You know, I've seen state champions take fourth at districts. You know, I've seen guys with losing records make their way to Des Moines. You know, but you think about it, that's what's great about this sport. You know, any guy, any given day can show up and they can find a way to be great, and they can end up being great and getting down the state tournament. You know, I don't care what anyone says. You know, there's people that are like, oh man, he didn't deserve to qualify state. No, he showed up, he wrestled, he put together a tournament, and he made it to the state tournament. You know, some kids dream of just going to the state tournament, making it out of districts, and never got that opportunity. I'm one of them. You know, but, you know, with plenty of therapy and, you know, stuff like that, you know, I've grown. I've moved on. Totally kidding there. But, yeah, just remember, you know, you got to be the best, or just be your best this week. Go out there and wrestle. Don't think about records. You're 0-0. And just go out there and fight, man. Just go out there and put together a great tournament. I think big things happen. Just some do's and don'ts, guys. Like, I've just seen it too many times, and it's one of those things that, like, always kind of bug me. Like, I always felt like if I saw someone, like, getting overly hyped up in it, it kind of annoyed me. You know, and one of the big things is, you know, don't go changing. You know, too many times people get caught up in the postseason, and, you know, they start changing shit, you know? It's like, they're like, all of a sudden, like, they're coloring their hair freaking pink, or they're shaving their hair. Don't do anything to your goddamn hair. You know, get your normal haircut. Do the same thing that you've been doing this entire time. There's no sense to pour, you know, peroxide in your hair and dye bleach blonde, or shave it, or do anything like that, that if you haven't been doing it all year. You know, if you do wrestle the buzzed haircut, then do it. But if it's like all of a sudden, like, you know, hey, I'm just going to mix it up because this is state and it's fun. Nah, man, don't change it. Just don't change it. Focus on wrestling. Don't focus on the pageantry of it. Just trust me on that. You know, and also, you know, if you haven't had a mustache all year, having it at districts isn't going to make you a better wrestler. All right. So just don't even worry about it. Just go there and stick to what you brought there. You know, and that's kind of the whole point of this is this section is, you know, stick to what you brought there. You know, stick to what's gotten you to this point. You know, for those that know me, I'm a gearhead, but I'm only a gearhead to a certain extent. You know, I love having different shoes. If I could have, you know, had all the shoes that I have now in high school, I'd be the happiest dude on the planet. However, you know, as a coach, nothing annoyed me more than hearing kids like say, like, oh yeah, my insert relative here is gonna let me wear, you know, his broke down Rulons if I qualify for state. And it's like, okay, cool. But if you haven't been wearing them at all this year, then what do you think that's going to do? Like, that's not going to do anything that's going to benefit you. You know, if you've had the same shoes that you've been wearing all year, keep wearing them, man. Like, those are broken and you are comfortable in them. You feel they're yours. Go after it. Just wear those and don't even think about that. It's one less thing to worry about. All right. You know, and then, you know, for the guys that are shoe guys, I know there's guys out there that, you know, like to mix up shoes a bunch of different times. If you're going to do it and you change your shoes out a lot anyways, great. But just stick to your own shoes. Don't go borrowing your buddies. Like I said, don't go bumming your uncle's combat speeds that are so beat up and covered in tape that you think that just because it's so cool. It's like, nah, stick to what you've always worn. Because, again, just familiarity. You got to feel comfortable in it. They're in them. They're broken in to your feet. You're going to be competing in that. So stick to what you have there. Singlets, you know, most programs, you know, they're pretty set on, you know, what singlets are going to wear down the state tournament. Cool that. I always think that's smart. I know there's coaching staffs that literally tell you, like, hey, this day we're wearing this color singlet, this day we're wearing this color singlet, this day we're wearing this color singlet, if they have, you know, three sets of singlets to wear those times. So stick to that. But, you know, again, now is not time to go bust out the 1980 singlets you found in the boiler room, you know, that are made of cotton. And, you know, it's just cool because they're old school. If you haven't worn them prior, don't wear them. That's just size show shit that you don't really need right now, you know? But, you know, if you have been doing that, then go for it. But if you haven't, again, don't change up something that you haven't been doing for something new. It just doesn't, you know, it's just annoying. And I'm sorry for repeating myself, but this is something that just always kind of bugged me, you know? I've you see kids on Facebook, they're like, oh, I'm going to wear my uncle's headgear, like, and it's like, cool, like, sweet, you might get 25-year-old impetigo now. That's good for you, man. You know, I don't worry about it, man. So just moving forward, again, don't worry about rankings, don't worry about seeds, just go out there and wrestle your ass off, you know. If it doesn't go your way, it doesn't go your way, but hey, if it happens, figure it out and be better from it, you know. Make that opportunity yours, take advantage of what you have. Get down to state tournament. That's the goal, obviously. So fast forward 4 days. You go from Saturday to probably Tuesday when you leave, or Wednesday morning when you leave, depends on what time your schedule is. You have about 4 days to, you know, be ready to go to the state tournament. Just be excited about it, right? You know, when you first get down there, you get to the arena. I always think you should go down to the arena. I think that's something that you should do as a team. You know, get down there, get familiar with the area, you know where the weigh-ins are, know where, you know, kind of set up a camp with your team of like, hey, this is where we're going to have all of our stuff at. So just so you know, in case, you know, something happens where, you know, you know, those beacons almost, if you will. Now, my secret, I don't know if it's a secret, but I always think that, you know, people that go in the arena, it's great. But a bonus is if you can get in there when there's fans there. You know, it's one thing to walk in the arena when it's quiet, you know, you're by yourself, or your team's by yourself, and you're kind of just looking around, you're seeing all the empty seats, and that's great, but I tell you, if you're not ready for it, that first time that you look up and you start hearing, you know, upwards to 10,000 people, you know, cheering, it can take it out of you, you know. I know a lot of you guys that are wrestling, that'll be wrestling down there, you guys have had the advantage of going to AAU state tournament. You guys have been going down there since you were 8 or 9 years old. You're familiar with the crowd. You're familiar with the arena. But for the guys that haven't, you know, those guys that went out for wrestling in high school and they're making the state tournament, you need to get down there and you need to get, you know, just down there enough to hear the crowd, see the people, and just like, yeah, not get shell-shocked by it all, because it can be shell-shocking, especially, you know, I've seen four-time state champs, you know, that think that, oh, this is nothing, man, and all of a sudden, dude sees 15,000 people, and all of a sudden, he was telling me, he's like, dude, not gonna lie, like, seeing all those people, all of a sudden, I got nervous. That is something that you gotta get out of your system right out the gate, day one, right? So, make sure you get a chance to do that, make sure you get a chance to, you know, take that all in, and just enjoy the time there as well. For your hotel room, I suggest always bring your own pillow. You know, I understand, dude, we're 3 hours away from Des Moines, so you're not going to be able to sleep in your own bed. But if you can at least bring some familiarity of bringing like a pillow, something that, you know, like, hey, I sleep on this pillow. It can at least mentally trick you to think that you're sleeping in your own bed, even just by having that pillow. And I think you get a better night's sleep because of it. So with that being said, you know, just those little things that you can do to make things familiar, you know, don't get too lazy in between sessions. Don't be just laying around all day. your coaches all do a great job keeping you guys, you know, moving and doing stuff like that. Again, I'm going to repeat what I said at districts. You're 0-0 in Des Moines first round. First round, you're 0-0. You know, you look back and you think about Andrew Turner's upset when he's down 14-0 against Cole Erickson, who was ranked number one at the time. Hits a cow catcher in the third and pins him in the first round. You know, you think about Alex Hudson from Hempstead. He's wrestling a top-ranked Caleb Runyon. He hits a lat drop in the first round and pins him. You know, anything can happen down here. You know, you just wrestle like you belong down there. I think big things will happen. So, you know, just trust your coaches, trust your abilities, trust everything that you've been doing to get to this point. I think you'll be fine. You know, so go out, wrestle hard, you know, put forth fight, effort, fun, you know, and I think, you know, just find a way to be great, because if you do all those things, you know, you'll be in Des Moines next week and you'll also be on the podium on Saturday if you do all those things, I think, the right way. You know, and parents, you know, here's something you guys can thank you guys for tuning in as long as you guys have. You know, this is just my words of encouragement to you. Also, as a father now of 3 years, you know, I feel like I can start giving some parent advice here as well. you know, this trip is a symbol of your efforts as well. You know, you look back and you think about, you know, think about all the miles, all the little kids tournaments, all the club practices you guys went to, you know, all the money you guys spent on concession stands, tournament t-shirts, Dippin' Dots, you know, all those things. You know, you can, it's all part of the journey that you and your son get to take together. You know, it's not something that he's just going on, you're going on with him. You know, this is, you know, some of you guys that are seniors, you know, this is honestly, like, you know, one of the last opportunities as a family that you guys will be able to go on this type of journey together. So, you know, kudos to you guys for getting down there. You know, don't get caught up in the nerves, you know, just take a breath and know that this is a family accomplishment. But, okay, I mean, let's be real, guys. Like, you guys are going to be nervous as shit when you're down in Des Moines. I know if I was in your shoes, I'd probably be nervous as hell no matter how much I say just relax and do all these things, you know. So just embrace it, enjoy, relax, and enjoy watching your son do what he loves. You know, I do ask one thing of the parents, though. Obviously, I do know many of you guys. You know, I think I'm, you know, a lot of us are friends. These parents I'm talking to, or anyone that's listening, you know, I think about you guys, and I feel like I can say this without coming off like I'm holier than thou. Again, you know, being a 3-year parent, I feel like I can tell you guys this. I'm totally kidding. It's just more of the fact that I'm comfortable enough to tell you guys this, that no matter the outcome, whether it's 0-2 or a gold medal on Saturday, you know, just make sure you tell your son that you're proud of him and you love him. You know, I know that just seems so like, oh yeah, I tell him that every day, or I tell him that regardless. But in that situation, you know, whether he is 0-2, a medal, or a state champion, you just tell him, hey, I love you and I'm proud of you. You know, because again, remember, these guys are anywhere from 15 to 18 years old. And sometimes the weight of the world rests on their shoulders and their eyes. You know, they think that if they don't perform well, they're letting everyone down. But if you just step up and, or not step up, I didn't mean it like that. But if you just, you know, just remind them how proud you are of them and how much you love them, that no matter what, you're their biggest fan. You know, I just think that, like, those are just little things that go further than you think. You know, I being a coach, like having that coaching experience down the state tournament, seeing dads, I would say that to their kids. You know, or mom saying that to their kids. Like, I think that kind of, it picks them up no matter what the results are. So, with that, I'm Worm. I got my one. I'm out. Thanks again for listening. Follow us at Worm's Weigh In on Instagram, or follow us at Dubuque Area Sports Podcast on Facebook. Before we go, I just want to give one last shout out to Raider Outdoor Power, Mosky's Barbecue, Eric Doughty Concrete, Lane's Custom Steel, Gravel Grading and Excavating, Cascade Athletic Club, Big Game Wrestling Club, Dubuque Wrestling Club, Leonard Funeral Home, Kramer Pest Control, Jared Levy at Exit Realty, and Spine and Sport Chiropractic Center. I'm so thankful for you guys' sponsorships. I hope you guys go out and use their business, support their business any way you guys can. Give them follows on social media. Use their business. It's truly appreciated.